tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everyone. And welcome to another AfterBuzz for the Americans. As always, you can feel more than free to follow us on iTunes, tweet to us on Twitter. And with that said, I'll go ahead and introduce my co-host.
Hi, I'm Julian Dujeric. You can follow me at Julian Dujeric on Instagram and Twitter.
Hello, this is Comrade Joshua Richmond doing show for AfterBuzz TV, The Americans. And you can follow me on Twitter at Radio TFB. Do you think I could keep up this accent for the entire show?
I hope so.
Yes, we shall see.
I'm done. I'm calling it now. I just wanted to do the intro.
Just no worries. That's awesome.
And I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Twitter at Miss Adrienne Snow. So why don't we just go ahead and go right in?
Let's talk about this. Season 3, episode 2, Baggage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Let's give a overall. What did you guys think overall?
It's, you know, as usual with a show like The Americans, often you have a premiere that's real exciting. Maybe you've got like some big action set pieces and introduces the themes for the season. And then season 2, you get a lot of pieces moving into place and kind of setting up a lot of the ongoing plots. You know, we have the woman from the U.S.-Canada department kind of coming in, and we're introduced to a few new characters, which is all important stuff for the season's arc, but doesn't always necessarily make the most exciting single episode of TV.
Okay, so that's what you felt about episode 2.
At least so far. I mean, I'm digging a lot of where it's going.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily feel like there was a ton to hold on to, at least for what we're seeing right now.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think this episode was definitely lining up all the ducks to get ready for what we saw in the promo, which we'll talk about hopefully later on, to be a really good third episode. I echo all of those sentiments. I think it's not necessarily the type of episode that is, I won't say super exciting, but it's one that leaves you excited for what's to come, for sure.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I felt, you know, it was setting up some more stuff from the previous episode. I did feel like they kind of narrowed in a little bit more with what was going on. I felt like finally I got to know what the name of U.S.-Canada Institute's lady was.
Right.
You know, for a while.
even Stan didn't really
speak. Yeah, I was like, what's her name? You know.
Lady in a Box, I call
her.
Yeah,
it. Lady in the Box. U.S.-Canada Institute defector, Zenaida.
Zenaida,
right.
Another character to nail down in this constantly expanding American universe. To be fair, it's part of what I love about the show. And I was talking about this with you before we watched the episode, is I do love that even as the show, which really started with her central family, has grown so much, and now we're seeing so much of the world inside the FBI and the Residentura, and now we're even in Moscow, and we've got all these characters in Moscow. And it's great seeing how all these plots are kind of moving in parallel and the way that they're all going to kind of dovetail and intersect. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's a wonderful setup. We also got to learn the name of the new lady in the Russian faction, Tatiana.
Right.
She was kind of introduced last week, and she's going to play a bigger factor, which was nice to see as well.
The new Nina.
The new Nina. Well, I think she's not an assistant. She's something, she's more like along the lines of the director is what I'm getting the impression of.
Right.
So she's not quite the new Nina.
But it's not like, but Nina wasn't quite an assistant either. She's, you know, double agent playing both sides sort of thing.
This woman seems to have a little bit more power, and I think they're going to, it looks like they're kind of setting up something between her and Oleg, which.
That, another reason I'm saying the new Nina. You know,
possibly.
I mean, Oleg, I think, is kind of an incorrigible lady hound, it seems like.
Possibly. I don't know. We'll see about that. But
we'll
I guess to start
I'll save
things,
that for predictions.
Yeah, we'll save that for predictions. And I do want to touch a little bit more on Nina's storyline as well. But I felt like maybe we should start off with Yusuf, because he is playing a really big part in just how he's been interacting with Elizabeth and Philip. What are your guys' thoughts on that storyline?
It's, you know, obviously, killing off Annalise last episode, that was kind of a big bang, big way to start. And instantly, yeah, he's pulled back into this universe. I'm still, that's kind of what I mean when I say it's one of the plots where I'm thinking I'm very curious to see where it's going. I'm not really sure what to make of it so far.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay.
I think it's always interesting for me to see a character that is thrust into a situation that forces them to come to terms with a compromising of their moral compass a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot of it. I mean, he killed her. But it's interesting to see kind of how the paradigm shifts for him in that regard. I just find that so interesting.
It's interesting because when he killed her, I was like, God, that's just such a cold-blooded act. And the fact that he didn't
he wasn't hesitating. He was doing it very calmly and controlled and
He was very calm and
almost controlled
about it.
Almost like it was an inconvenience for him, I feel like. Like, oh, she was so good. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I don't have to kill her now. She was the best lay.
Right?
She spoke French.
Yeah, she spoke French.
I know. His list.
How can I kill somebody who speaks French?
Yeah.
His listing of why he liked her was kind of, in my opinion, pathetic. Yeah. Like, she majored in art history and she spoke French.
Right.
I could talk to her. What, dude? Seriously? Like, that's all that you got out of that? I mean, great. I'm sure that's better than your previous lays, is that she could actually speak French.
Yeah.
Too.
Right.
Congratulations.
But yeah, if I could talk to her, is the best you could do. I mean, good. Go get a therapist. You could talk to her.
Yeah. It didn't seem, I didn't have much sympathy for Yusuf in this episode. I haven't had much sympathy for him overall.
I haven't really either. No.
And I didn't really care when they were like, yeah, you have to break this girl's leg. I mean, oh, I'm so sorry for you. You killed her. Mm. Like, deal with it.
Yeah, it's a little bit, you know, like, sorry, you got to clean up your own mess. You got to help do the dirty work in some way. They were really digging in, breaking the bones on that woman. And
oh yeah,
yeah. Kudos to Elizabeth for taking a picture of Yusuf doing.
Yeah,
that.
I wouldn't
some
have thought.
Good blackmail, I would, some good yeah. spying. Right,
they're very there. Smart. They're very trained.
Yeah, I would never have thought to do that, but that's super smart, because I didn't even know what she was doing until like probably like 10 seconds in, and then I made the random comment like, oh. Just in case.
Smart
Duh,
woman.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, I will say Elizabeth is just such a savvy Russian spy for the most part. But her savviness sometimes, I feel like, gets in the way of her ability to think before she acts.
Well, that is, I think, part of why she's a great character. She's very good at her job and very trained, but she's not always very self-aware.
No.
And there are times when she's kind of getting in over her head and doesn't seem to realize it because she's so blinded by just tunnel vision, dedication to the cause and dedication to what she's doing.
Yeah, everything sort of falls to the periphery for her, which I kept making the joke, like the award for the person with the biggest testicular fortitude, I guess, is a good
you
way to put
balls.
It.
I think you can say
can
balls.
I think balls. Balls are okay.
Would you prefer chutzpah?
I really,
goes to her, goes to Elizabeth, but you mentioned, you know, it could be that, or it could just be that she's really dumb.
Incredibly reckless. Mm-hmm. I mean, and she's, the amount of times these characters seem okay with, like, showing their faces around to various CIA agents or Afghanistan counterintelligence or whatever. Like, they live next door to a counterintelligence officer who's, like, best friends with them. At some point, that's going to get them in trouble. It hasn't so far in the series, but it's going to.
Well, yeah. It's you know, it's the gun on the wall. Eventually, that gun will be fired.
Exactly.
But with that said, I also feel that Elizabeth is just incredibly reckless. I mean, she has been caught almost twice. If we have anything to assume from previews, she may almost get caught for the third time. And that kind of, Yusuf really brought up a really great point of just the power dynamic in Philip and Elizabeth's relationship. She is so much about serving her country. She's so much about doing everything in the name of her country, and how, you know, that has begun to affect, it's always affected their relationship, and now it's beginning to affect their relationship with their children, because Paige is about to be recruited. And Philip can see the recklessness of Elizabeth, and that, you know, something could eventually not go her way. She could eventually be in a suitcase, and he doesn't want that for her, and he certainly doesn't want that for his daughter.
Well, I think my favorite moment of the episode was where Philip and Elizabeth were having that conversation about whether they should start kind of getting Paige ready to be a KGB officer maybe at some point down the line. Because, you know, Elizabeth is deluded in her way, thinking that it's just going to work out if Paige gets into their line of work, that she'll be somehow safe and, you know, get a cushy CIA job. Like, that's not going to go bad at some point. Mm-hmm. But Philip is also deluded if he really thinks, if he really wants a guarantee that life's always going to be easy, which is the quote I wrote. You can't guarantee that for your children. That's impossible. Even if Paige isn't going to be a KGB agent, if that is Philip's motivation is to give Paige a perfect, easy life, that's not going to work out either.
Well, the writing's already on the wall. I mean, they're both KGB spies. It's inevitable that their family lives, everyone in their family, whether nuclear or extended, is going to be affected to some degree.
Yeah,
exactly. And Paige is already completely affected by it. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know exactly what her parents are lying about, but she knows her parents lie about everything all the time because she's pretty smart.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. As you know, as her children get older, they are going to start to notice that dad's always out late. So
right.
Dad doesn't come home for a night. And so that's something that they need to deal with. And I think also with the KGB, they're also kind of factoring that in, that these covers are hard to keep up once their children start to come to a certain age where they can recognize that something is going on. So better to keep everything within the family, better to, create another set of spies than to risk their covers being blown by the fact that they have basically children that could eventually out them. So they're smart on that factor. However, I don't think what Philip wants is at all wrong. I think it's a natural fatherly instinct to want the best for your children and to want to protect them. And I also think, most parents don't want their children to become spies that like have sex with a bunch of random people and murder people and get their faces slammed into car hoods. That's fair.
I completely understand why. I think that's Philip's main motivation at this point isn't necessarily doing it for the motherland, but basically doing it to give his children a better life. You know, the same motivation of a lot of parents.
Yeah.
I just think he's also being unrealistic about the ways his lifestyle is affecting his children, and thinking that if we can just do everything 100% right, Paige will never find out, never be affected by any of this. I think if he really thinks that, he is crazy. Mm. And maybe there is an argument to be made for telling your children some hard truths about yourself and being actually open and honest with them, you know?
Sorry, there was
got
a bug.
It.
That was a, yeah. That's
it was
some,
bugging
that's
me
about,
a little too. But
some spy, some spy level skills
eventually.
Right there.
Well, you know, I've seen the show a couple times.
Yes.
You pick up a few things. But to your point, it is very naive of him to think that there is in no way going to be at least some level of curiosity on part of their children as to what's going on. You know, we saw that in this episode. Why is Dad always out? And she even said I didn't write down the quote, but I think she said Paige said something to the effect. And correct me if I'm wrong. You guys look out for each other more than us.
Yeah,
and I thought that was super powerful.
Yeah.
That's such a powerful statement, and then obviously tried to backtrack a little bit.
I mean, it's a pretty cold thing. This is something actually Paige does a lot, is she'll say something really cold like that, and then she'll be, but that's fine, you know, whatever. Yeah. It's fine that you guys look out for each other
more than us. She's Russian.
Yeah. Well, she's got it in her blood.
Honesty. I feel like they've always kind of referenced the fact that Paige is picking up on things. The fact that she at one point refused to hang up the phone when they were talking about business, and they could tell that she was listening in. They told her hang up. So she's always, you know, kind of on the game of like something is up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which would make her a wonderful spy. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's a good idea.
For all we know, she might be sympathetic to the KGB cause. She is turning into a good little anti-capitalist this episode.
Yeah.
Making fun of having to go to Pepsi University one day.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, as someone who is currently living in 2015, that recruiting your daughter to the KGB in the 1980s is not a good idea.
Yeah. Some may argue that recruiting your daughter in 2015 is not a good idea.
Yes. I would agree with that as well.
Yeah, I would continue to agree with that, sure.
But speaking of just recruitment. I guess we can switch over into Stan. For some reason, that linked in my head, FBI recruitment. Stan is such a sad little man this episode.
I know,
Stan has been a sad character for some time. It's just getting sadder and sadder. Yeah.
What were your thoughts on his arc and dealing with almost getting shot?
Yeah, well, it's last episode we had a he went to that seminar that was all about honesty, right?
Est.
What I still don't know what Est is.
Okay,
I still have no
I can
idea.
Explain Est.
Can you please
explain
that to me?
I was invited to the new version of Est, the
Landmark
Forum. Yes.
Oh, that, we talked about
that's,
it.
That's what the Landmark Forum is?
Yes.
I'm wondering what the hell the Landmark Forum is.
Basically, it's a program. It's a weekend program that is all about you finding your best self and acknowledging
your best self.
I'm already laughing.
I'm gonna get in trouble for saying your best self, but it's something
wrong.
That is making you have to hold yourself accountable for how people affect your life. So that's what it's about. So that's why it kind of prompts. Est is also it's basically the same company. Landmark is just like the modernized version of it,
right?
And it kind of forces you to demand the best in yourself, to be accountable for your actions, to be accountable for how you let people affect you, which is why Sandra becomes
meanwhile giving all your money to the Landmark.
I was just going to say that. while giving $600.
Anybody listening is a member of the Landmark Forum, we apologize. You should continue to go to YouTube and like our videos and find us on iTunes and rate us.
Yes.
We won't continue to make
There are benefits to it. There are benefits to it, but it is your money as well. So,
but I was saying all Sandra wants is honesty, and suddenly in this episode, maybe prompted by the fact he very easily could have died, Stan is really opening up to her for I almost feel like the first time all series.
Yeah.
But it's too late, and Sandra isn't really having it, which was heartbreaking.
I found that she was really like thinking to probably, I mean, I don't know what she was thinking, but it seemed as if her disposition was one of someone who does not believe him and does not, I wouldn't say doesn't care, but just is kind of over.
Yeah.
It's kind of over everything that has happened in their marriage. And it is too late for her. This isn't someone who has put his life in danger. This isn't the first time that he's put his life in danger. I'm sure it's certainly not the first time that he's almost gotten shot or has had a gun pulled out on him.
Yeah.
So if I were in that situation, if I were in her situation, I'd probably be thinking like now, like what's the difference between now of you almost getting shot and the thousands of times in the 20-year career that you've had at the FBI that you've almost died? Like I don't understand why that's happening now, why you're so forthcoming now. So I definitely, As sad as I feel for the situation, I definitely understand her in that regard.
I totally understand her point of view. I think it's sad that he's only able to open up now that it is officially too late to do anything about it.
Well, that's when people always want to open up. It's like right when it's finally like, okay, this is it, I'm gone. That's when people go, oh, okay, well, wait.
Right.
You think it's
now
maybe
I can
because
give you what I want.
he may not have anything to lose at this point, or he feels as if he has nothing to lose?
Well, I feel like it's more of he has lost everything.
Right.
And so now he's racing to get it back in some way. It's not really that he has nothing to lose. I mean, I think turning his back on Oleg is him already realizing that he's lost everything. So that's him saying, I have nothing to lose.
Okay.
But I think him going to Sandra, I think it was something that happened that was a scary moment for him. Not to say that he hasn't had those moments in the past and they haven't dealt with it together before, but the difference was is that when it happened this time, there was no one to go home to.
Right.
And so after he was almost shot in the back, he just wanted to see his wife. He just wanted to see his child, and they weren't there. And when he was able to see them, it was kind of like, you're not a part of our life in that way
anymore. I mean, he's 100, I really think he is 100% responsible for the situation he finds himself in because he has been so cold and closed off. And it's just a sad situation all around.
But it's, I mean, it is the nature of his job. You're not supposed to tell.
You're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to.
But I remember there was a moment in the last season when Sandra was saying, you know, I know like the wives of other counterintelligence officers, and they say their husbands, they obviously can't talk about the missions, but they can still talk about any funny little detail, something that happened at work or make something
that would
you know, help us connect.
I did
and
forget
he
about
he
that.
Never, he never offers that up.
I remember that episode. I remember. And that was also something that was striking to me when I saw it, because I do wonder what it is that people who work in clandestine jobs, how is it that they connect with their spouses if they can't really talk about something that really makes up such a large portion of their day?
Frankly, that's what engages me most about this show, is a lot of the spy plots I can kind of take or leave, but seeing just the little details of how either people who are spies for the enemy living in a foreign land or even just like spies for our country, like navigate their lives and navigate all the lies and secrets they have to keep together is continues to be kind of a fascinating engine for this show.
Yeah.
They always, I think the dynamic of Stan and Sandra versus Philip and Elizabeth is a really good thing to see. You see how, though Philip and Elizabeth don't always get along, and certainly first season they were kind of at each other's throats, the fact that they are both in this together, they're both doing the same job, they're both fighting for their country as spies, allows them to confide in each other and have that closeness and that reliance.
They have a healthy, functional marriage, which is kind of amazing to see.
Yeah, and so you see that from – I really love what the show does in terms of showing how these people who are considered enemies are able to kind of show this humanity, whereas the actual Americans –
can't and are very
are struggling so much to just get by on the day to day. And
God, that phone call Stan had to make saying, "Hey, this is Stan Beeman calling for Matthew Beeman."
Yeah,
I almost feel like maybe even before he spent years with the white power movement or whatever, I have a feeling he was just a person who was always awkward making connections with anybody.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense, him becoming a spy and all. It
requires, it's a little reclusiveness to some degree.
Yeah, it just seems like a very deep part of his character.
And that definitely tugged at my heartstrings a little bit. I was like, wow, this guy is really reaching out in a way that he hasn't done, or at least in a way that we haven't seen him in the last, I guess, ever.
Yeah.
It got me a little. Got me a little sad in the tummies, in the hearties.
I felt a little sad for Stan, but then again, Oleg did have every right to pull a gun on Stan, because he did basically, I mean, he should not have betrayed his country. I agree with that 100%. But he also did kind of just throw Nina to the wind and be like, hey, enjoy prison in Russia. Have fun.
Nina threw herself to the wind.
She did. Well, poor thing. She just was kind of nice.
Though she is looking good in Soviet Gulag.
Yeah, so we touch on Nina.
I mean,
Nina is in prison in Russia in a very nice, like, velour jumpsuit.
She has a coiffed hairstyle.
Yeah, her hairstyle.
Like a very wet look, you know? I like her jumpsuit, Grant, they gave her a bucket to piss in.
They gave her a bucket.
You know? And toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
Yeah. Which is, high-end for a Russian prison.
Very nice.
I mean, I've never been in a Russian jail, and hopefully, knock on wood, I never will. But that seems pretty legit to me.
Yeah.
Oh no, she's got it made.
She does. She's got it.
Why would she even want to go back to America?
Right.
Exactly. It sounds like
the motherland for her was like a desperate, awful place, and now she's like gone up a couple pegs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The view from her window and the lunch that she had. I saw some greens on
the plates.
She
has great company.
Yeah.
Oh,
this
woman
is, she knows English and French.
She's Belgian.
She's Belgian. That's right.
Yeah.
Was she speaking French though?
She spoke a little, she said French and Russian to say like, hey.
Okay.
Do you speak that?
Okay. Another intriguing character who says she is innocent, but Nina replies, this is not a jail for innocent people.
Yeah.
We don't know what she may have done to end up in this position.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see if that in any way ties to
what's going on.
Yeah. Or if it's just like a one-off thing, which I always love. I love to kind of add detail and a dynamic that doesn't necessarily go that far, but it adds a sense of realism to it.
Of course, Nina has already planted the seeds for her escape route. With that relationship, her relationship with Oleg. Oleg's got pull with his dad, and his dad's going
to
get her out.
Finally got to see the father come in.
What do you think of that? Do we want to? I thought that was interesting.
I got a little uncomfortable when I saw Igor walk in, or when he was introduced, because in the past, how Nina is usually treated by older men that she's introduced to, it usually turns in a sexual way, and I'm kind of like, oh God, what is he going to ask her? So I got a little uncomfortable with that. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do with that storyline. I really thought if they reintroduced Nina, it was just going to be to kill her. I kind of felt that, you know, her storyline past that had kind of come to an end.
And it so did now seem like it had.
I'm kind of curious to see what they're going to do with Nina. I don't know, without Stan, where she falls.
I also got to say that I like having a character like Nina around who's kind of a wild card.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, for a spy show like this, we pretty much know the allegiances of most of the main characters. You know, we know what Philip and Elizabeth's motivation is and what Stan's motivation is. Nina's one of the few characters who's a total wild card, and we really don't know who she's playing at any given time.
She's the Joker of the
she's
Americans.
She's playing for herself.
She's playing for herself.
But yeah, so that was interesting, and it was nice for them to bring her back. I know there's some curiosity if she was actually going to come back. So now we know she's there. We know that she is in Russia and she's alive. So that's a big deal. And the thing is that I thought was interesting is that I guess Oleg has already assumed that she has she is on her way to the execution.
Yeah, that she's just dead.
That she's dead. And Igor, you know, has kind of stepped in without telling his son. So I'm curious to see if Igor is going to play Nina against Oleg to get something that he wants from Oleg later down the line.
Igor did say something about being disappointed in his son, how parents are easily disappointed in their children.
So I would definitely...
Ooh, do you think that was a read on Nina? Like, oh, he could have done so much better.
No. Because right when he walked in, he said, I see why.
I'm a Nina fan.
Yeah. Igor said when he walked in, I can see why my son fell for you. So I don't think that was a read at all. I think it was just him being
okay.
But when Nina says I wasn't pretending with Oleg, I do not buy it.
I don't buy it. I was just going to ask, what do you guys think of that? You just said that she's playing for herself, but... She seems pretty sincere, but given her history, I don't necessarily buy it either.
I don't know if she was really in love with Stan or with Oleg, or frankly with any of them.
I don't think she was. I thought for a minute she was in love with Stan until he killed Ivan.
Yeah,
right.
And then it turned her. But I felt that what she had with Oleg was genuine. But with that said, if we've learned nothing about Nina, is that Nina is about surviving. So nobody can trump the fact that she wants to survive.
Right.
And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she cuts both those men down so that she can live.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Or all three of them. Your theory might be right on the old man, the May-December thing that seems to happen with her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Oleg's gonna love that if her and Igor start doing it.
Well, keep it in the family. You know, that's what I say.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Anywho.
Don't tweet me, okay?
Oh, no. Keep it in the family.
We get to see Frank Langella again, which is really nice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Wow, brought back as Gabriel.
Who I love, an amazing character actor, and I love seeing him in this role.
Yeah.
It's great to see our central couple with a handler that they actually trust and aren't always trying to figure out their motives. It seems like they have a long enough history with Gabriel that he really can just step in and be somebody they can just talk to and confide in and work with.
He's more of a fatherly figure, which is nice to see, you know, them have that dynamic. And that I think what's really been nice this season is seeing more of the history with Elizabeth. We touched a little bit on Philip's history, either of, say, season 2 or season 1, when they brought back his old love, who was a spy, and they had, kind of an affair. So it was nice to see her talk a little bit more about her family, talk about her mother, and how her relationship with her mother plays in the dynamic of her relationship with Paige.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Frank serving as Gabriel, in that sense, to bring that to light, it's been really nice as well.
Yeah, she, her mother seems very, very Soviet. The fact that Elizabeth essentially comes to her at 16 and saying, this is what I'm going to do. And her mother doesn't even hesitate and just says, you do what you have to do to serve the country. Very, you know, very cold, very straightforward, very just, you know, about getting it done. No muss, no fuss.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, I think, is trying to bring the same dynamic to her relationship with Paige. And Paige does kind of take after her mother a little bit. There is a little bit of Elizabeth in Paige.
Oh, definitely. I think for Elizabeth, her big concern is that, she even said it, you know, that Paige is a teenager in this country.
She
really despises America.
She hates America.
Which is funny. That is not wavered. She seems to have a very great life in America. But
I mean, she's got the nice house and the car and whatever. I wouldn't call her life great when she's having to get beat up all the time.
I was just gonna say, sometimes, you know, having to have sex with random men or getting your head slammed into a car hood. Isn't that fun?
But, or getting whatever happened with her tooth that she can't even go to a dentist for fear of getting cut.
Yes.
That's not fun.
Yeah, that's crazy to me that she still feels as though she can reconcile her life in America with her, you know, desire to serve her country. I thought that's almost like robotic in nature.
It's well, she's a soldier. And that's the one great thing that I love with Elizabeth is that she is the soldier. Mm-hmm. So if Philip is more of like, I'm doing this because I feel like for him, it's almost a way just to get out of Russia. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he still cares about Russia, but it eventually became this thing where I was like, this is nice. I like having a car. I like, you know,
yeah,
having season changes.
He adapted, like he adapted water. To America.
Yeah, he adapted sure. to it.
I think he ultimately wants Paige to have a normal American life.
Yes.
I don't know if he loves America so much that he wants that for himself. I'm sure he thinks he's way too far gone at this point. But I think he's trying to set that up for the rest of his family.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What I think was interesting also was the conversation between Philip and Elizabeth about Elizabeth going to see her mother, mm-hmm. and how for some reason that wasn't an option personally for Elizabeth. She said, "You know, we can't go back." So I'm interested in knowing why.
For her to go back, for them to go back, for anything personal would be a blow and cover.
Oh, okay.
So they've agreed.
I mean, how would they make it back into America again after that?
Oh, wow. Okay. They
have the resources. Philip is right, but that goes against their mission. Mm. And she is a soldier.
Man,
that is her mission.
Everything falls to the periphery with this woman. She's just like laser focus, which is commendable, but like how do you do that as a human being, as a mother, as a wife?
Yeah, that's a tough mom to have.
What are you talking about? That's just called being a woman, okay?
Okay.
Do it all. Uh-huh. No, it is kind of...
Lean
it works
Elizabeth.
For her, and it works against her as well. You know, that laser focus makes her great at her job, but also sometimes makes her a crappy parent, sometimes makes her a crappy wife, sometimes it makes her a crappy spy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it works for her and against her because sometimes she doesn't know when to step back.
Do you think she feels anything? I wonder.
She feels a ton.
I'm so fascinated by characters or even people really that are able to compartmentalize their emotions in that way. Or is she compartmentalizing? Is she just Elizabeth, the character, that good of an actress?
I 100% think she has feelings, and I think you see it a lot, even if she tries to keep it. The one I wonder about, actually, is Philip, who you see it when he he's breaking Annalise's bones, and every time he has to kill an innocent person, and kind of maybe he seems like he feels a second of remorse and then just keeps moving like a shark.
Yeah.
He talked a lot last season about how the toll killing all of these innocent people is taking on him.
Yeah.
And I think he's starting to become almost numb to it.
Oh, yeah. That's when it becomes dangerous, when you feel nothing.
Well, I think they're both kind of numb to it. I mean, how long have they been doing this? They've been doing it for at least 15 years, mm-hmm. if Paige is going on 15 years old. So I can imagine killing, as with anything, can become easy if you do it enough. Sorry, that sounded really psychopathic. I just want everyone to know that.
No, that's almost the point.
I think that's the point. Yeah. I don't think that's weird.
He's kind of becoming a monster, or is a monster.
Yeah.
And one of the beautiful things about the show is that it does manage to play with our sympathies like that.
Yeah.
For a character who, if we were seeing the whole show through Stan's eyes, this character is no doubt just like a horrible, horrible monster who's trying to bring down America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a real beauty to the mirroring that goes on. I think we kind of touched on it a little bit where the defector, Zenaida, was talking about how she feels that the Soviet Union, you kind of responded a little bit more to it, the Soviet Union is like making these assumptions that they have a certain amount of control or they have the right to, do you remember exactly
this
what she said?
I'm not sure where you're going.
Just how they feel like they have the right to kind of attack this country and that they have a right to control their children.
I was just making a reference. I don't want to make any political references with anything that's happening in 2015, but I was just making a reference to how countries, and I believe the country that I was thinking about, nameless, tend to think that they are, you know, the fixers of the world, the destroyers of the world, the be-all, end-all. Like,
what
the
country could you possibly be talking about?
Well, no, there's several.
But, yeah, there are several.
There are several. But, you know, I did think that was interesting that she's at this kind of moral fork in the road. Or I guess not really a moral fork. Like, she's in America, so
yeah,
she's,
so
you
she's
know,
decided.
She's decided. It's interesting to me that she's decided to you know, kind of take on that perspective, or she's coming from that perspective when she was in the motherland, where it's so hard when you're so influenced, when there is so much thing, so many things propagated that influence you in a way that you may not necessarily even realize. So I thought that was really interesting that she was able to have the wherewithal to kind of, you know, think outside of the box a little bit. And I'm not saying that America is a better country or Russia is a better country or any country is better or worse. I think it's interesting that she was able to kind of do that for herself and gain that perspective.
No, well, I mean, capitalism is seductive too. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it in the way she looks at a Milky Way bar, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like the treats and the pleasures of being in America. It's very easy, even from an outside perspective, to see how that seems maybe a little bit more appealing than being in a poor communist icebound country, you know?
Which is why I don't understand. I mean, I guess you're right. She's a soldier. I'm going harking back to Elizabeth a little bit. I don't understand how someone can be like that, in like so robotic in the way, or I guess robotic's not even the way, the right word. Just so apathetic, I guess, about.
Well, I think there's a certain amount of idealism that comes with that. I think you know, with.
Which goes
soldiers.
To show that I would make a terrible spy.
I'm
sorry.
No,
she's committed to a cause.
You can always be a freelance spy. But I think, just to touch on this.
Yeah.
With soldiers, how that you are trained to be a soldier is to look at your enemy as an animal, as less than.
Oh, true.
And to also see your country as the best country in the world. There's nothing better than your country. And all countries across the board do this to soldiers. That's how you get them to do what they do, to have something in the service of. I mean, a lot of people do things in the name of other things. So,
yeah, from the perspective of somebody like Elizabeth, America is
horrible.
You know, it's a country of hedonism. It's a country full of pigs who only care about material comforts and don't care about anything bigger than themselves.
And I think that's just a really great point about the show, is that they show how with any country, with any other culture, that they can have the same viewpoint that we sometimes give to other countries, that they can look at them and say, well, they can look at us and say, well, we are terrorists and we are bad and we need to be corrected or annihilated. And so it's just an interesting viewpoint.
It is.
I always liked the Americans for that.
It's great having all the viewpoints, although, you know, it does mean when we get in situations where Stan looks like he's about to be killed, I'm like, they're not going to kill Stan.
I wanted them so badly to kill him.
You were talking about how you feel like we're overdue for a death on the Americans.
You know,
and I thought for a second, maybe you're going to get your wish in a very surprising fashion.
For a show that's been on for 3 seasons... to have pretty much all of the people who were there season one still be there is crazy.
Was Nina in season one?
Yes.
Yeah, she was there from the second episode.
The only person that was a regular that was murdered was Stan's partner, and that was first season. So I'm amazed that they've all made it this far.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But with that said, I mean, I did eventually want them to kill someone.
Yeah.
Please kill someone.
But it's true. Like, if you killed Stan, we'd have no eyes inside the CIA except, like,
well, I don't want them to kill. I mean, I kind of just wanted to see it happen. I at least wanted to get shot. But kill the FBI director. Kill Martha. Kill someone. Anywho, with that said, shall we move on to predictions?
Let's do it.
Let's.
Because I got a good one.
All right.
Now. You set yourself up.
We'll wait for the late show to stop.
Go for it.
This isn't really even a prediction from this episode, but from based on last episode, Stan and Martha are going to hook up.
Oh man,
I think for sure.
What?
Stan is so lonely, and Martha is getting sick of Clark, and you can see in that scene in the gun range, there's something's going to happen, and then Martha's going to like spill the beans to him or something like that.
Hmm.
Maybe that's why you can keep it.
Yeah.
I hope that actually happens. That would make for such an interesting narrative.
Does that make me officially a Startha shipper? I guess so.
Maybe.
Predictions. I think this is a pretty safe prediction. or maybe wishful thinking. I don't know. Her name just fell out of my brain. Elizabeth's daughter. Oh, my word.
Paige.
Thank you. Wow, that's bad. She's like in every episode. I think Paige is going to surprise Elizabeth in a way that I think she'll probably be recruited and she won't fall for it. I don't think that she'll. I think she'll hold on to kind of her American ideals, even though she's critical of America. I think they're gonna do a sharp turn, and there might be some interesting things happening there.
Yeah, maybe she's gonna decide, hey, I want to become like an FBI agent or something. Go 100% the opposite.
I cannot believe my parents are working for the enemy as much as I don't like my country.
Huh? NBC's doing Allegiance, which is like the Americans continue. Yeah. That's very interesting.
Maybe.
Sorry.
His first assignment was to spy on his own family.
Yeah.
So weird. Anyways. that's an interesting point. I think that Elizabeth is going to finally be broken, that her spirit in some way will be broken, that will cause her to, at the last moment, not want to turn Paige into a spy.
You think it could happen when her mom dies?
I don't think it's going to – I think if her mom dies soon, then that will kind of reinforce this need to recruit Paige.
Mm-hmm.
But I think something else is going to happen, whether she be caught, whether she be tortured in some way, something that causes her to say, I don't want this for my daughter. So that's kind of where I'm getting the feeling of.
What's her Achilles heel, though, is the question. Like we still haven't seen that. At least I haven't.
I think she absolutely does. I think it is that tunnel vision. I think she can't. I think it's very easy if you I think Claudia did this a lot over the last couple of seasons. It's very easy to kind of plant an idea in her head and just like wind her up and get her running like an Energizer bunny.
Yeah.
And she won't even see the consequences.
She's gonna. Something is eventually gonna break her. And that might even be. Maybe she does recruit Paige, and then something horrible happens to Paige. So who knows? But I think something will eventually break her kind of like soldier spirit.
I think she's going to wear a really great wig next episode.
She always has amazing wigs. Their wig maker is awesome. Sorry.
I want to meet the wig maker at some point. Actor I want to meet their wig making connection.
I want Philip's mustache.
Right?
Isn't
Everything.
That an epic mustache? Yeah.
He had a great mustache.
He had a great one today. Yeah. It was very clean.
It was like a cop mustache.
Costume design, yes. Wig making.
Absolutely.
Amazing. All right. Well, I think that about wraps us up for the Americans AfterBuzz show.
So.
As always.
But I'm so happy to be on this panel with you guys.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this
Thank
whole episode.
You.
I'm happy to be on this panel, too.
Yes.
I didn't think I would be able to, so yeah. I'm happy to
It's great
I'm
to have you guys. Here. Where can everyone follow you guys?
Look, I'm at Radio TFB on Twitter, and I'm also just an engineer around AfterBuzz, so you'll see me from time to time. Go to joshrichmond.net if you want to see other stuff I do.
Awesome. It's good stuff, I bet.
It is.
You can reach me on Instagram and Twitter at Julian Dujarric. Really, at Julian Dujarric across the board on all social media, but those two I'm most active on.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrian Snow. That's MSADRIANSNOW. All right, guys. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.
Goodbye, comrades.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.